Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields. Welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we take a look again at the book of Genesis, this time chapter 22, verses 1 to 19. The first verse, verse 1, says, God put Abraham to the test. Brothers and sisters, there are times when God allows us to be tested. He allows us to be tested, that we ourselves might see how strong our faith really is, whether we really have the faith we think we have. Because so often, for many of us, our faith has not, it's been tested in personal things or family things or, you know, perhaps some civic things, but it hasn't been tested to the point of martyrdom. And sometimes we can think our faith is stronger than it really is. And so one of the good fruits of a test of faith is to find out that maybe you're not as strong as you thought you were. Because we want to build a faith that will endure, whether we go through life peacefully or whether we go through war. I'm thinking a lot of our brothers and sisters in Iraq who never expected what they're having to face. I mean, they've certainly had it in their history, but, you know, life goes on, and you're born, and you grow up, and you go to school, and you're married, and you have children, or you do whatever it is in life that God's calling you to do, and you expect the status quo, so to speak. And to see them respond in the midst of the horror that they're going through, to see them respond with faith, has been a real wake-up call for me. Because I think, I'm not so sure I could do that. And I need to be able, by His grace, not by my own willpower, but I need to be able to cooperate with His grace when things go against me, or when they go against us. So I urge you to be honest with yourself, to take a look. How strong is my faith? And we don't really know the answer until it's tested. But at the same time, we can ask God daily for an increase of faith. We can read the scriptures. We can go to Mass as often as we can. What if that freedom were taken from you? How much do you depend on the Eucharist? Feed on Him daily if you can. I have much more to say about the Eucharist in the future, but for the moment, feed on Him daily if you can. Let's take a look at the book of Genesis, chapter 22, verses 1 to 19. God put Abraham to the test. My goodness, Abraham's had a few tests. But He called to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do you recognize the voice of the Lord in your own heart? You say, here I am, Lord. You can grow in a relationship with God that allows you not an audible voice, but in your soul a kind of tap on your shoulder that draws you to what God wants you to see or do or say. Take your son Isaac, your only one whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. There you shall offer him up as a burnt offering on a height that I will point out to you. You imagine what that did to Abraham's heart. Here was the answer to the promise. Years and years of barrenness, nothing. God promised him a son, and that son's descendants would be overwhelmingly numerous. And now the boy is about 12 years of age. He's just a young boy, and Abraham is told to sacrifice him. So early the next morning, Abraham saddled his donkey, took with him his son Isaac and two of his servants as well, and with the wood that he had cut for the burnt offering, set out for the place of which God had told him. On the third day, so they walked for 3 days. Can you imagine his pain, his confusion? Abraham got sight of the place from afar, and then he said to his servants, both of you stay here with the donkey, while the boy and I go on over yonder. We will worship and then come back to you. Thereupon Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, laid it on his son Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two walked on together, Isaac spoke to his father Abraham. Father, he said, yes, son, he replied. Isaac continued, "Here are the fire and the wood. Where's the sheep for the burnt offering?" Can you imagine what that must have done to a father's heart who so loved his son? He knew he had to obey God. He was committed to obeying God. That's part of why he's our father in the faith. He did what God asked him, even when it made no sense, even when it seemed to destroy the promise that God had made to him. He was still faithful. "Here are the fire and the wood, but where's the sheep for the burnt offering?" "Son," Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the sheep for the burnt offering." And then the two continued going forward. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. Next, he tied up his son Isaac and put him on top of the wood on the altar. Then he reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the Lord's messenger called to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he answered. "Do not lay your hand on the boy," said the messenger. "Do not do the least thing to him. I know now how devoted you are to God, since you did not withhold from me your own beloved son." It was a test. As Abraham looked about, he spied a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. So he went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named the site Yahweh Yireh. Hence, people now say, "On the mountain the Lord will see." Again, the Lord's messenger called to Abraham from heaven and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you acted as you did, in not withholding from me your own beloved son, I will bless you abundantly. I will make your descendants as countless as the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. Your descendants shall take possession of the gates of their enemies, and in your descendants all the nations of the earth shall find blessing. All this because you obeyed my command." Abraham then returned to his servants, and they set out together for Beersheba, where Abraham made his home. That was a major test, both for Abraham and for Isaac, to trust his father even when it seemed his father was about to kill him. Talk about faith. Ask for faith to exceed even that of Abraham. Ask for the willingness to be obedient to God, because God will bring good out of everything he asks, far greater good than you could achieve for yourself. Trust him. Psalm 115, "I will walk in the presence of the Lord in the land of the living." Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Because of your kindness, because of your truth, our God is in heaven. Whatever he wills, he does. Their idols are silver and gold, the handiwork of men. They have mouths but speak not, they have eyes but see not, they have ears but hear not, they have noses but smell not. Brothers and sisters, you can apply this to today. We have all kinds of idols. Spend a day watching TV or on the internet and you'll see them all. We have many, many idols. Many. Throw them down. Cast them out. And choose Jesus Christ alone as the one who has your allegiance, your loyalty, your love, your obedience. The house of Israel trusts in the Lord. He is their help and shield. Faith, the call to faith again and again and again. And the gospel is the gospel of Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 to 8. After entering a boat, Jesus made the crossing and came into his own town. And there people brought to him a paralytic lying on a stretcher. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Courage, child, your sins are forgiven." At that, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." Jesus knew what they were thinking and said, "Why do you harbor evil thoughts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk?" but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He then said to the paralytic, rise, pick up your stretcher, and go home. He rose and went home. And when the crowd saw this, they were struck with awe and glorified God, who had given such authority to men. Think about this. First of all, you have friends of a paralytic, and they have such faith that Jesus can heal them that they climb on a roof, they get the tiles and the straw and whatever else off the roof, and they lower him down because the crowd was too big. And the scripture says when Jesus saw their faith, the faith of the friends of the paralytic, how important a role that is. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, courage, child, your sins are forgiven. At that, some of the scribes said to themselves, this man is blaspheming. In other words, who could forgive sins that belongs to God? Jesus knew what they were thinking, and he said, why do you harbor evil thoughts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk? What's the easier thing to do? And then he proceeds to do both. He's forgiven the sin, and then he says, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he then said to the paralytic, rise, pick up your stretcher, and go home. He rose and went home. Can you imagine the friends of that guy? I mean, how overjoyed. They must have been turning cartwheels on the pathways as they left. They had faith to bring him to Jesus. Thank God the paralytic had friends, and he had very good friends. Learn how to be a good friend, and learn how to gather around you good friends. Don't look for people of influence and power and this and that. Look for people who love God, who have faith. Surround yourself with them. There are all kinds of lessons to be gained from this gospel passage, Matthew 9, verses 1 to 8. Many lessons. And notice that when the crowds saw this, they heard the interaction, they saw it, they were struck with awe and glorified God who had given such authority to men. Really? Really, this is such a gift. It's such a gift. Brothers and sisters, faith produces an abundance of fruit. Faith just pours out an abundance of fruit. And faith isn't something you can drum up. Faith is something where you read the scriptures every day. You pray that God would enlighten your mind and strengthen your will to do good and to avoid evil. Pray that way. But ask God every day, increase my faith in you. Give me the gift of faith. Let it bloom in my life that I might be your disciple forever. Go for it, brothers and sisters. It will produce abundant fruit. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.